In 1945, after the end of World War II, Germany territory was divided into four zones. Some of you will remember how this zoning went. Each one was controlled by four of the Allied powers: United States, Great Britain, France, and the Soviet Union. The capital city, Berlin, was also divided into four Allied zones, despite the city itself lying deep inside of the Soviet zone. The intent the whole time was for these powers to govern Germany together. However, in 1949, the advent of the Cold War tension forced the French and the British and the American zones to be formed into what was commonly known as West Germany. This obviously excluded the Soviet zone, and soon they formed what was commonly known as East Germany. A little bit of history facts for us this morning. West Germany developed into a Western capitalist country with a social market economy and a democratic parliamentary type government. East Germany established an authoritarian government with a Soviet style command economy. And while East Germany became one of the richest, most advanced countries in the Eastern Bloc, many of its citizens still looked to the West for political freedoms and financial prosperity. Consequently, if you think about what that might do, as more and more citizens started to flee East Germany to go to West Germany via West Berlin, some red flags started to go off for the Eastern German government, and that was the kind of starting point for the idea of the Berlin Wall. August 13th, 1961, the construction of the 96-mile wall began. You'll see some of the pictures to refresh your memory on the screen here. It was built slightly inside the East Berlin territory to ensure that it did not intrude on West Berlin. Additionally, the 858-mile border between West and East Germany was also barricaded off, and this was done through a wide variety of ways. It was formed by a series of 12 to 15 feet high metal walls, fences, armed guards, guard dogs, barbed wire, electrical alarms that would go off, trenches, watchtowers, automatic guns, and minefields, just to name a few of the schemes. As you might imagine, these constructed barriers were a product of fear. They were a product of pride. And they had immediate effects upon the Berlin and the wider German community. Many families were permanently divided from each other with no way to reconnect. Others lost their jobs and opportunities for financial improvement. And these immediate effects became long-term hurts and headaches. And many people decided, you know what? They're not going to hold me back from my family. And so they risked their life. Many lost their lives as they tried to navigate their way to the other side of the wall. And throughout the years, the Berlin Wall stood. The German people on either side of the wall, they were left standing, looking, questioning, is there anything beyond this wall for me? Is there any hope on the other side of this wall? So I believe it's significant for us to come to this wall and reflect and ask, why was the Berlin Wall constructed in the first place? Well, first of all, it was to keep the East German people in. President Reagan was known for saying, as he looked out over the Berlin Wall, this is the only wall I know of that was made to keep people in and not out. Second, though, it was constructed in some ways to keep the West Germany influences out. So we're all familiar with walls within the world around us. Some of these walls were constructed, and they're external walls like the Berlin Wall, and we know of others like it. Some still stand, some have been destroyed. But oftentimes, for whatever reason, we choose to ignore the walls that we have constructed in our own hearts, in our own lives. Some of us have walls that are buried deep within us. They've been passed down to us, and they go unnoticed and they go unchecked. And here's the thing, church, Satan does not want us to realize or remember what lies beyond the walls that we maintain. And as long as we believe his lies, then Satan can keep us held captive within the walls. And so the purpose of this series is for us to see the walls, to recognize the walls, the barriers that we have built, and others that have been passed down to us. And then, Lord willing, with God's help, we can tear them down. That's what this series is about. Tearing down the walls that divide us so that we can find common ground at the cross of Jesus. So what do I mean by walls that we build around our hearts and other barriers that have been passed down to us? Well, because of fear and selfishness and pride and implicit biases that we have hidden away down deep in our hearts, we build barriers around our lives and communities, and we think it's for our protection. We think it's for our own good. And then there's other walls that have been created around us that, like I said just a moment ago, they go unchecked, they go unnoticed. And the reason they go unchecked and unnoticed is because they're not as out in front as some of the other ones that we're familiar with. They're more systematic or institutional in nature. But listen, these barriers, these walls have been around for decades. Some are centuries old, and they continue to suppress the vulnerable and the minorities among us. And listen, believe me, Satan wants us to keep these walls up. A matter of fact, he wants us to build new ones. And Satan wants us to retain the evil influences in, and he wants to keep the godly influences out. I think this is one of Satan's biggest lies to the people of God. So just to make it plain, I want to give us some clear examples of what some of those lies are, what some of those walls are that divide us. Individually or personally, some among us believe that pornography is the better option because it just takes too much effort. It takes too much time to have a genuine relationship with your spouse. That a, quote, secret affair will work out fine because, after all, nobody knows. It's not hurting anyone. And some of you think, well, it's okay to continue to drink or to take that drug because it numbs the pain. And after all, it's just at the end of the day because it makes me feel at ease or to find some comfort at the end of the day. And the problem with that is you're depending on something other than our Almighty God. Some of us believe that it's easier to just be bitter, to slander others and abuse others with our words than it is. It's easier to do that than it is to face the truth about our anger and our pride. And for some of you, it's easier to just work long hours upon hours and stay away from home and your family. After all, you're making more money for the family, right? You're just trying to provide. And Satan's in the background going, yes, keep that wall up. Make it higher. Continue to divide. But as we broaden our view and the scope is expanded, many of us, directly or indirectly, we participate in unkind, biased, and possibly even hateful treatment toward different ethnicities, people of a different socioeconomic class, and even the other gender. And oftentimes we are unaware of our actions because we're blind participants in a system that's been discriminatory for decades. And we don't see it. We're blind participants in this system that's been passed down to us. And that's what this series is for us to be awakened from within so that we can see, so that we can recognize what's going on around us. And then we can't change it all on our own, and we certainly can't change it overnight, but we can be a participant in the kingdom of God breaking into the world. We can participate in that, and together with him, as Jesus invites us to the table of grace to talk this over, we can tear down these walls. So can we just begin to glimpse just a little bit what happens when we choose to construct or to ignore these walls that have been built? We move further and further away from God and His values for our lives, and we go further and further into isolation and to living out the lives that Satan would want us to live. And so again, in this series, I want us to take a sincere search of our own lives and the world around us, and I want us to come face to face with our own personal walls and the barriers that have been passed down to us. I want us to come face to face, and I just want us to pause and to stand before them and reflect and allow God to just pour into our soul so that we can at least recognize the consequences that we and others will suffer because of them if we don't tear them down. If you have your Bible or Bible app, join me in our first passage in this series. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And in 1 Corinthians 12, God in His infinite wisdom knew that we could not overcome difficult issues like these on our own. It's kind of like our life's journey, right? We can't do it on our own. We cannot tear down these walls on our own. And that's why He created the church, and He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to purchase and to redeem the church. Jesus knows the necessity, that's an important word, the necessity of a loving, transparent, and supportive community of faith. That's why He gave Himself up for her. And so through His death, through His burial, through His resurrection and ascension and exaltation and one day coming again, we have all been united into one body, the body of Jesus Christ. And so in 1 Corinthians 12, beginning in verse 12, I just pray that you will pay very close attention and that you will contemplate the beauty and the wonder of the oneness of the body of Christ. Read along with me in your Bible. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand and I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? But as it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. But on the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. Now pay very close attention to this last part. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. When one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. The oneness of the body of Christ. And in a church that was full of all kinds of dividing walls, Paul believed that it was paramount to stress the oneness of the body of Christ to the Corinthians. I mean, if you know the story of the Corinthian church as you read 1 and 2 Corinthians, they had so many dividing walls, I've lost count. I mean, from walls of sexual immorality to court disputes to social injustices and church politics, just in this particular context, the barriers up for discussion were favoritism and church politics. In chapter 11, preceding the chapter we're reading from, in chapter 11, they were purposely excluding people from table fellowship. And so if you could imagine the church getting together for a big potluck meal and then also to partake of the Lord's Supper as we've done together this morning, they're like, we told them 6:30, but let's go ahead and start at 6. Oh, what about this person and this person? It's okay. We'll start without them. No big deal. They're not that important. And Paul comes in and says, oh no, wait for each other. Wait for each other, because within the context of the oneness of the body of Christ, there is strength and there is support, and every part is needed to make the body whole. So that's chapter 11, and that's the dividing wall that was up. And then in chapters 12 through 14, there's this absurd notion that my spiritual gift is better than yours. And Paul's like, what are you guys doing, Corinthian church? No one is more important than the other. And then there's the beautiful chapter of 13 of, without love, you are nothing. Love never fails. So I believe there's a tangible truth from this text that we all must learn. Paul wanted the Corinthians to learn it, and he wants us to see it and believe it. We are all image bearers of God, formed in Christ to be one body. No matter our backgrounds, no matter our skin color, no matter our social class or gender or giftedness, we are all one in Christ Jesus. And we all believe that, and we want to say amen boldly to that. But this series is going to help us to back up just a bit and broaden the lens, and we're going to be challenged in those beliefs. Not that they're not true, but we just need to recognize some of the walls that we have, and we need to tear them down. So within the diverse body, there's support, there's strength, but apart from it, we start to find ourselves isolated and weak. And when we build walls around our hearts and communities, we isolate ourselves from God, but we also expose ourselves to our enemy's schemes. He wants us to be isolated. Satan wants us to be weak. And so he puts these walls up. He encourages us to keep the walls and maintain the walls and to build new ones so that we are weak and isolated from one another. And let me just give this principle to you as kind of the focus of our series over the next few weeks. Take this truth with you. Let it sink in. And then let's come ready to tear down some walls. God has something greater for us beyond walls. But we think to ourselves, these walls are for my protection. These walls are helpful to me. These walls are keeping this secret. And these walls are kind of keeping me hidden in over here. Listen to me, church. Listen, God has something greater for us beyond walls. June 12th, 1987, President Ronald Reagan gave his famous Tear Down This Wall speech at the Brandenburg Gate by the Berlin Wall. Reagan challenged then Soviet Union leader Mikhail Gorbachev, one of my favorite names to say of all time. He challenged Mikhail Gorbachev to destroy the Berlin Wall as a definite, clear sign of freedom and peace to the world. Let's just watch this brief clip.
There is one sign the Soviets can make that would be unmistakable, that would advance dramatically the cause of freedom and peace. Mr. Gorbachev, open this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
It's a courageous speech by President Reagan, and if you know the story, or if you don't, go and read the background to that one speech. It's impressive that his advisement council advised him to take that part of the speech out, and President Reagan chose to keep it in. It was a courageous speech, but do you know that it took 2 years? 2 years later, one thing led to another, and on November 9th, 1989, tens of thousands of East Berliners stormed the Berlin Wall, demanding entrance into West Berlin. They were not going to be denied anymore, and their request was granted, and soon sections of the wall began to crumble and fall, and freedom and peace and family reunions began to happen for the first time in 28 years. So I leave us with this. When are you going to tear down that wall? When are you going to choose to come face to face with that wall that's in your life that you know is not of God and storm that wall and tear it down? And I'm not talking about with a chisel a little bit at a time. I'm talking about with the Spirit of God in hand with a sledgehammer, you crumble that thing. And what about as a church? When are we together? I said in first service, there's a simple little song that our children love. We all need to know it. We're all in this together. And it's true. When are we going to come together as a church to storm the walls that have been passed down to us that are not of God? And when are we going to come together and tear them down? Let me just be bold and plain. Are you ready to storm the dysfunctional addiction in your life? Tear it down. Are you ready to storm the wall of unfaithfulness in your marriage? Tear it down. Are you ready to storm the wall of uncontrollable anger and unhealthy self-talk and abusive talk to others? Brother, sister, tear it down. What about gossip? What about hurtful actions towards others? Don't be bitter anymore. Tear that wall down and come to Jesus. And what about collectively and together? Are we ready to storm the wall of racism and hatred in our communities? Brothers, sisters, let's tear it down. Are we ready together to storm the wall of stereotypical classism that's among us? Brothers, sisters, let's tear it down together. And together, what if we were to storm the wall of sexism and prejudice that continues to fester among us in the church? Yes. And in our communities and world? Yes. Brothers, sisters, let's tear it down. And what if we really got serious and we came together to storm the wall of selfish individualism that continues to fester in our Western culture like a cancer? What if we, brothers, sisters, came together to tear down that wall? Yeah. Well, like Reagan pleaded with Gorbachev, God is just calling out from his heavenly throne, enough is enough. Tear down the things that divide my church. Yeah. But the question that remains is, will we join him in tearing them down? Because the truth is all of us have something in our lives that God alone can redeem and use for his glory. And here's the beautiful part is, Jesus, he's inviting us in to his table of grace. He's inviting us in, and he's saying, come, let's talk this over together. And it's not a conversation that he wants you to come and have and sit down at his table of grace so that he can slap you down or point a bony finger in your face and say, what's wrong with you? That's not our Lord. That's not our Savior. Our Savior is meek and lowly, gentle at heart. He loves you. And he's inviting you into his table of grace so that you can have a conversation. And you can take a look at these walls that you've built or that have been passed down to you, and Jesus can say, you know, what do you think's beyond that wall? And maybe, just maybe, he's calling us to participate in his kingdom breaking into the world. So to our God, who hears and sees all people, who's always for us, never against, our God who is always with us, never far away, and to Jesus Christ, our King and Savior, who invites us to his table of grace, who calls us to imagine the kingdom of God breaking into the world, and who commands us to love God and neighbor. And to the Spirit of God, who empowers and unleashes the people of God to go and live out these kingdom realities, all praises to him for his unfailing love and unending mercy. To him be glory and honor forever and ever. And the church said, amen. Let me pray for us. God, we love you, and we are thankful to be a part of your one body. Through your great wisdom and power, you created this body. And Jesus, thank you so much for dying for this body and purchasing this body with your own body and blood. And so we just praise you. And we say thank you for all the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. But God, we ask this morning that you would work within us, that you would create a stirring down deep in our hearts and souls to want to come face to face with these things that divide and tear down. God, help us to tear down these walls. We can't do it without you. We need your help. So we just ask that you would come and go before us, that you would be with us, and that you would help us with these very difficult things, so that your name would be honored, so that your name would be glorified. God, we ask for your kingdom to come on this earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, together we say, amen. Let's stand and close with some praise.
Amen. God, in our worship, that we want his kingdom in our life.